Welcome to the Tailoring Talk Show with me, your host, Roberto Revilla. I'm a bespoke tailor, menswear designer, and owner of Roberto Revilla London Suit and Shirt Makers. This is the podcast where you come for the threads, but often leave with something quite unexpected. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please help me out by leaving a rating and a review. You can also subscribe for free if you haven't done so already. Today, we are going to be talking about the Apple event that happened last week. iPhone pre-orders went live last Friday. You could already order the Apple Watch pretty much the day it was announced. The new watch is released on the 23rd of September. So that's just over a week away. And what else did they announce? So there was a watch, the iPhone, and we also had the AirPods Pro 2. I'm not going to go too in-depth and get all sort of techie geeky about the features. I'll highlight some of them on each product. But I guess what I really want to do for those of you that are still pondering what to do, what to go for, what to pre-order, maybe what to try and grab on the day of release, race around shops or scour websites online, trying to find people who've got stock of whatever you decide to do. Hopefully I'm going to be able to just kind of help you out with your decision making and also just talk through what I've done. Rick, regular listeners will know from Apple Podcast reviews previous, or rather Apple episodes that we've done in the past. We haven't done any for a while, actually. It's just because Rick and I have both been tremendously busy. And you'll remember sort of around Christmas time, John Evans and I also did a bit of an Apple review. And John and I have been busy. Obviously, it's been a busy summer, so life's kind of been happening. And now John's sort of back into term time with school. He's a teacher, and we're also trying to get content up for Play, Pause, Turn, our entertainment podcast. John has also been helping me out with Tailoring Talk for the Bondathon series, so you'll know his sultry tones from those episodes as well. So yeah, we haven't talked about Apple stuff for a while, but anyway, so last Tuesday, Apple held their Far Out event. Actually, it was Wednesday. Normally, they're on a Tuesday, but for some reason this year, they went for a Wednesday. So it's called Far Out, and there was a lot of speculation as to what Far Out would mean, whether it could mean, their new virtual or AR-type glasses, because you had the sort of space-themed background. But in actual fact, it was all to do with satellites and safety. This was the push that Apple was sort of making on us this time around to get us to break open our piggy banks and spend some money again. So I think probably the best place to start is kind of what my current setup is. So I recently changed my MacBook. It was one of the very last Intel-based processor MacBooks, and it was the very, very top spec. It must have cost easily $3,000 to $4,000 about 3 or 4 years ago. And what I use my MacBook for is obviously running my day-to-day business. I rely on it heavily, actually, running my day-to-day business, content creation, creating stuff and designing stuff for clients. So really, it is the device that I lean on heavily the most every working day. And that MacBook was fantastic when I first got it. As time has gone on, despite being the top spec at the time, it started to creak recently. Started to see the little colored wheel appear more and more for certain intensive tasks, like video and so on. And Rick had got the M1 Pro processor MacBook, the 14-inch, and was raving about it. And I saw that John Lewis basically had reduced the price of it by about £1,800. So it was about, I think, $1,720, which for effectively a new MacBook that was going to be a hell of a lot faster than my current one at less than half the price than I paid for the current one. And also I had the 16-inch, so actually portability was a little bit of an issue because it was a little bit cumbersome. I thought maybe I should sell mine and then get the new one. So it kind of sort of boiled down to about the same thing, actually, price-wise, because I sold mine for about, I think it was about 1600-1700 it went for, and so it was almost effectively a straight swap into the M1 Pro 14-inch MacBook, which I have to say has been absolutely tremendous. I didn't go for, you know, a beefier spec or anything. It's the 512 gig hard drive with whatever it comes with, and it's been fantastic so far. I've been very, very happy, and it's very, very portable. So I tend to take it with me pretty much every other day. I have an iPad Pro M1 as well, the first one that came out in 2020. And that's still blazing away. It's, that thing is so ridiculously fast. When it came out, it was so overpowered, and it arguably still is. So the iPad is what I take with me to most of my client fittings. It's where I show design ideas. It's where I write up invoices and do quotes and estimates. It's also where I edit the podcast. So pretty much everything that happens with this podcast happens on my iPad M1 Pro. Let's have a look. So phone-wise, so I have a personal phone and I have a business phone. My business phone is the iPhone 13 Pro Max, which is brilliant. I've got the 256 gig version. I have zero desire to upgrade that phone this year. There is nothing on the iPhone 14 Pro Max or regular size that makes me want to change my work phone. I have got zero desire inside me to hit that pre-order button to replace my work phone. The Pro Max, the 13 Pro Max, is brilliant. It's lightning quick. Even after a year, the battery is phenomenal. It really, you know, I get to the end of every day and I've still got a good, you know, 30, 40, sometimes 50, 60% left, depending on what I've been doing. The screen is gorgeous. It feels great in the hand. For business, it's fantastic. Personal use, I've got the iPhone 13 mini. Now, I'm really torn over this because the iPhone 13 mini, in terms of processor and everything, it's got the same processor as the 13 Pro Max. So it's a very, very quick little phone. The screen isn't as good, but then you don't notice that because it's a smaller screen at, I think it's 5.1 inches or something, or 5.4. It's the pixel density is higher. So it gives a slightly sharper resolution. So it's still a Retina display. It doesn't have the ProMotion display that the Pro phones have, but it's still a very good little display because of the size and because they have to pack all those pixels into a smaller space. So from a performance point of view, I've got no issues with it. And because it is a smaller screen, what I'm trying to do is reduce the time that I'm on my phone evenings and weekends, and it's definitely succeeded in doing that because the screen is quite small, and so I don't really want to use it for content consumption. So as a result, it tends to just sit there, and you know, I kind of use it when I'm chatting on Discord with all of my podcast colleagues. So Play Paul's Turn has a Discord set up, obviously for messaging my closest friends and family. And that's pretty much about it. I do a little bit of reading on there, but not much. And I don't have any social media or any of those kind of distracting time suck apps installed on it either. The thing that I'm not happy with on it is the camera. So it's great when I'm out cycling because it's so small and portable. But like the other day, I was literally across the road from a crash and I wanted to take pictures because obviously, you know, as a witness, that could be quite important. And even though I was literally across the road, I can't have been more than 10 meters away because you don't have that additional lens that the Pro phones have. The Mini and obviously the normal iPhones have this problem as well. You take a picture and it literally looks like you're miles away when you're not. And to get close up, you have to crop the image. But as you crop the image, the resolution gets worse and worse the closer that you get to the subject. So for photography, I haven't found it as good. And that's, it is a very good camera, don't get me wrong. But I think when you've been using a pro phone for so long, which I have, you know, the 11 Pro, I had the 12 Pro, obviously now the 13 Pro Max, you do get used to a much better quality camera and the zoom functions and everything else that that gives you. And then the other thing is battery life. At the week, I don't notice it during the week because my personal phone sits on my desk at home and then I pick it up when I get home. I switch phones. So for the few hours in the evening, it doesn't matter. But at the weekends, it does become a problem. So I'll head out on Saturday morning. I'll go cycling for a couple of hours. Then I'll come back. Then I'll walk the dogs. And then we've got things that we've maybe got planned in the afternoon. And by the time I get to about lunchtime, my battery is at about 30, 40%. And it's not going to get me through the rest of the day. Now, I'm not blaming the phone for that. The form factor means it has to have a smaller battery. It can't have anything bigger. But it does put me at a disadvantage if I am not driving or just don't have some sort of battery charger that I can take with me. So those have been the two minor little irritations. And for ear pods and things like that, earphones. So I have the AirPods Max over ears, which are fantastic, although they live on my desk most of the time. So I tend to mostly use those when I'm podcast editing. Then I have the Beats Fit Pro because my ears are a funny shape. I've talked about this before. I don't have a tragus, which means that AirPods Pro tend to kind of fall out of my ears when I'm running and cycling and whatever. So I have the Beats Fit Pro because they do just lock into my ears. And in fact, I'm actually recording the audio for this episode on my Beats Fit Pro. I'm just driving into work and I've got my phone in the glove box on the voice record. And they're brilliant. The sound quality is phenomenal. The noise cancellation arguably is not as good as the AirPods Pro, although essentially they are the same earphone because they've got the same technology in them. They've got the Apple H1 chip. And that's because the Beats Fit Pro, they don't tend to sit inside your ear canal, whereas the AirPods Pro, you kind of have to push them inside your ear. And I actually prefer that because it means that I can wear the Beats Fit Pro all day. The AirPods Pro is for short bursts. So, for example, when I'm doing phone calls in the afternoons for a couple of hours, but I can't use them for sort of more than that length of time because it starts to irritate the ear. And then obviously I get the problem that if I move around or, you know, take a sip of coffee or something, they just fall off. So that's kind of my Apple setup. I can't think there's anything else. Oh, and I've got an Apple TV 4K, but we're not talking about TV stuff today. So that brings me on to what they announced. So and then I've got an Apple Watch Series 7. How could I forget? So I don't really use any apps on my Apple Watch. I pretty much use it to tell the time and for fitness tracking. And sometimes I'll check my emails on it. Sometimes I'll check text messages on it, but not often. If they deleted all of that and they only left me with fitness tracking and the time, I would be quite happy because I don't really do anything else on it. So dealing with the easiest one first, I think the AirPods 2. So the AirPods Pro, what are they called? The AirPods 2? AirPods Pro 2 were announced. Finally, people have been waiting a long time for them. I don't think they had any intention of bringing a new version of the AirPods Pro before the end of a 3-year cycle, because at the end of the day, I mean, why do people need to upgrade their earphones every single year? The new AirPods Pro 2 have a H2 chip, which I can't remember exactly what it does, but it does better stuff. It's got better noise cancellation. They claim up to 2 times better noise cancellation, which is handy for us folks in London that have to travel on the underground all the time. It can get very noisy down there. The sound quality is meant to be a little better. But you know, some of the other features like the personalized spatial audio, where you can hold your iPhone up to the ears and it uses the true depth camera to map your ears and then give you a sort of personalized audio experience. You can already get that with the original AirPods Pro. I think this is the thing that they very cleverly, but you know, kind of a little bit, I don't want to say underhand, but just a little bit dodge, is that a lot of the new features they announced for the watch phones and the AirPods Pro 2, you will actually get with all of the new operating system updates. I've been running on iOS 16, the developer version, for the last, God, it must be nearly 2 months now. And I've been using all these features. Personalized spatial audio is how I've got my AirPods Pro set up. You know, do I really notice that it's better? I mean, the sound quality is great, sure. But I don't feel like I'm, getting any massive benefit over it. So on the AirPods Pro 2, there's not, the changes are kind of iterative. They haven't changed the design of them really. The fit's no better, although they've just added an extra ear tip size in extra small for those of you that were still finding that the small ear tips weren't quite going in your ears. So that might help with fit, but there's not really that much different to make you spend £250 getting a new pair. So I would say if you've got the original AirPods Pro and you're happy with them, then stick with what you've got. Keep the money in your bank and don't bother. If you've got the regular AirPods, then you might consider upgrading, especially if you're finding that noise cancellation is an issue, maybe battery life is an issue, maybe even the fit is an issue, because for sure the AirPods Pro do fit better in the ears than the original AirPods do, or the AirPods 2 even, because they just don't have the silicone ear tips. But then if you don't like things being inside your ear, then that's a reason not to use AirPods Pro. Because as I understand it, the original AirPods just kind of sit just outside the ear canal, which is probably more comfortable for people who've got the right ear shape. So then we go on to Apple Watch. So Apple Watch Series 8, if you're on Series 6 or Series 7, I would say no point upgrading unless the cycle tracking is particularly interesting for you. If you're trying to keep track of menstruation, periods, because you're looking to family plan and so on, then cycle tracking could be a very, very important feature for you. But other than that, there's no real reason to upgrade from a Series 6 or 7 to a Series 8. All of the additional benefits that they showed you will get most of them with the Watch OS 9 update. So no need there. So really the big highlight was Apple Watch Ultra, which in the UK is priced at 849, which is actually a nice surprise because I was talking to a few of my other Apple heads and we thought it was going to be over £1,000 if they announced the Watch Pro, or Watch Ultra is what they called it. I think that's a pretty good name, kind of says everything. It looks great. I'm really torn over this one because the only reasons I'd be buying it is for the additional battery life. It basically has 36 hours of battery life as opposed to the 18 hours that you get on the regular watches. So that's great, especially for people I think that would want to track their sleep and not have to charge their watch before they go to bed. It has a big orange action button on it. The casing is a lot bigger. It's 49 mil, so it's up from 46, which is the largest that you can get with Series 7 and Series 8. And then it's got those lovely new loops, and it's just bigger and it looks chunkier and it's made from titanium and it has sapphire crystal glass. So it should be more scratch resistant. So for most people, you're not going to need an Apple Watch Ultra because you're not going to be, diving to a depth of 100 meters or whatever. You're not going to be up on Mount Everest. You're not going to be in temperatures of minus 30 degrees. Most of us just use an Apple Watch for running and cycling and just, working out at the gym and stuff. So if it's just that sort of day-to-day fitness tracking you need, then I would, if you want to upgrade, go for a Series 8. And if you, as I said before, if you have a Series 6, 7, or maybe even a Series 5, if you're not bothered about always on display, there is no reason for you to spend money and upgrade to the Watch Ultra. If you're someone who has got 850 quid spare and it doesn't bother you to spend that money on something that looks nice, is different to everything else that everybody is wearing, because let's face it, we see Apple Watches all the time now. And you just quite like the idea of having the luxury of that extra battery life. Certainly the display being 2000 nits, twice as bright as the existing watches, is a big benefit, especially people like me that are very active outdoors. So sometimes I do struggle to see what's on the display when I'm just trying to have a quick glance when I'm running or cycling. But yeah, the use case really, I think it's more if you have the disposable to spend and you want something that looks different, you would like to have the luxury of the extra battery life, and you want something that is a bit more durable as well, then go for it. I'm not going to stop you. I'm still weighing it up in my mind as well. I do have an alert at John Lewis because I kind of missed the boat on pre-orders. Now I think you can't get one until late October, early November. So I've got an alert with John Lewis set. So if they do have stock on the 23rd and they email me, I will, let's be honest, I will probably shoot down there and get grab one, and then sell my Series 7. But yeah, I'm on the fence about it really, because the reasons I would be doing it would be purely aesthetic and maybe the battery life and maybe the brighter screen. So there you go, that's the Watch Ultra. And that brings me on to the phones. So I'll say this now. If you've got an iPhone 12, you probably iPhone 12 Pro, you probably want to upgrade, because the battery on the iPhone 12 Pro sucks. And I know because I had one, and as soon as the 13 Pro Max came out, I got rid of it. So you probably definitely want to upgrade. You probably definitely want to upgrade if you've got an 11 Pro or earlier. If you've got an 11 Pro Max and you are happy with your phone, then you probably don't need to upgrade. I mean, even if your battery's degraded, I think it's like 70 or 80 quid. You can go to the Apple store and they'll just swap the battery out for a brand new one and off you go again. If you're interested in the camera improvements, then yeah, you might want to upgrade to the 14 Pro. But yeah, otherwise the 14 Pro Max are iterative upgrades. The biggest thing about them is the dynamic island, which is where they've made some fantastic changes to the UI, so that when you're using different apps, it kind of takes advantage of that notch area of the screen and allows you to kind of do things. You have to watch the video. It's very hard for me to explain, but it looks super cool. So what I'm going to be doing is upgrading the iPhone Mini to an iPhone 14 Pro, because that will get me the better camera and battery life that I need, and it will also satisfy my curiosity about the new Dynamic Island feature on this phone. But otherwise, it is an iterative upgrade. The satellite stuff, we don't get that in the UK. Obviously, if you're in the USA and safety is a concern, and you spend a lot of time out and about hiking and stuff, then yeah, maybe that is something that you want to look at. But they did lean very, very heavily into the safety aspects of the phone this year. It was a bit of a darker event in that they were saying, car crashes happen however many times a day. We hope that you'll never be in one and you'll never use these features. But won't you be glad that potentially we saved your life because you upgraded to the iPhone 14? And got all these new crash detection and, ability to point your phone at the sky if you've got no reception and get help. Yeah, a little bit macabre. So, I don't think, these are a reason to go out and spend all of that money on a new phone when you've got one that's maybe only a year or two old. So yeah, and definitely people who are on older iPhones that are interested in photography and might be having performance issues and so on, go for it. Go for it. They're fantastic phones. I can't wait to get my hands on mine. But again, for those of you that have bought phones in more recent years, the last year or two, it really doesn't look like something that you should spend all of your hard earned on. So there we go. That's the event. I'm almost at the workroom, so just need to park the car up. So I gave myself the time of my commute to do that little run through for you. Let me know what you've decided to do. You can email the podcast at tailoringtalkpodcast@gmail.com. You can also find us on Instagram at Tailoring Talk Podcast. You know I love feedback. And as I've requested before or pleaded with you, if you're listening to this and you haven't given us a rating or a review and you're on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please go ahead and do that. It really does help the show because there are certain algorithms that Apple Podcasts, etc. use to help people find it. And the more reviews we have, the more chance we have of shooting up those rankings. We will be back soon. We're putting out most weeks, 2 episodes a week now, because there's so much content being created. I hope you really, really enjoy the show. I want to say thank you so much for your time, for your support. Thanks to those of you that do give me a lot of feedback and love on Instagram. I really appreciate you, and I really hope this episode has been useful. If it has, then shoot me a quick email or drop me a review and let me know. And if you do like this type of content, I'll keep doing more of it. That's it for now. Good luck with whatever you decide to do with your devices this year. To you Android users, I'm very, very sorry. I'll try and get Alex from Play Pause Turn on the podcast at some point so we can do a bit of gadget talk. He has got the new Samsung Galaxy Flip phone, or sorry, the Fold phone rather. So I'm really looking forward to find out how he's getting on with that. But yeah, thanks ever so much as ever, and I look forward to seeing you on the next one.